about missions and all the places that we support and are connected to in Living Hope, places all around the world, long ways away, places I've never visited, maybe you've never visited, I'm reminded a little bit of what it means for us to live on mission. What does it mean for us to live according to the mission God's called us to, and how might we know if we are or if there's some places we need to continue to move forward? So we're going to look at a story from the book of Jonah, which obviously then is about Jonah. So if you've maybe ever read or known this story, you're probably kind of familiar with Jonah. And because you are, and because this is like the three-quarter point of service when everybody falls asleep, I found a nice 40-second video for you to summarize the entire book of Jonah without saying any words, and I think you'll enjoy it. So here's the story of Jonah, if you've forgotten.
Jonah.
I think it's the Halo, but I always laugh at the end of that one for some reason. So the story of Jonah, we know the story, right? I mean, you probably could fill in all the gaps while you watched just that little animation. You could go, okay, I know, I remember, he was supposed to go to Nineveh, right? And he didn't go to Nineveh. We know Nineveh was like 500 miles one way, and Jonah goes to Tarshish, which is like 2,000 miles the other way. And he's going by boat, and the storms happen, and they have to kick him overboard, so the storms will stop, the fish eats him, spits him out, he finally goes to Nineveh and does what he's supposed to do. I tell you all that because the story we're going to read comes right at the end of that. We're going to start in chapter 4. After kind of the normal part of Jonah's story that we're all used to, after that part's kind of over, what happens to Jonah in chapter 4, I think is really revealing as to maybe what's going on internally for him and sometimes what's going on internally for us when God's called us to do something or to move forward in some area of mission. So we're going to read Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 together. So starting in verse 1, "But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong," which this is the saving of Nineveh, that God had saved them and pardoned them. "And he became very angry," or he became angry. "He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I know that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live.' But the Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry?' Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter. He sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, 'It would be better for me to die than to live.' But God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' 'It is,' he said, 'and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead.' But the Lord said," this story makes me laugh, by the way, as I read it. But the Lord said, 'You've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? Should I not be concerned?" I think Jonah shows us some things in this really brief moment about what sometimes happens as God calls us to something internally, what's happening inside of us, and maybe some signs that our heart isn't totally connected to the heart of God when it comes to mission. So call these things sort of signposts or markers, maybe. If we see them in our life, we'll know that there's maybe some areas where we're sort of holding back. Signs we're missing the heart of God, maybe, or signs we're not totally connected with his mission. So just three of them from the story briefly. The first one is this: to Jonah, things became more important than people. Things became more important to Jonah than people. He has more pity for a plant than he does an entire city of people in the story, doesn't he? I mean, it's almost humorous when you say it. But he is very happy, if you read the words, right? He sits down, the plant grows, and the Lord God provided a leafy plant, made it grow up over Jonah, and Jonah was very happy. Oppose that to how many times in the verse he said, "I'm so angry, I want to die," over what? The people that were actually God was saving. Jonah became more concerned about the things in that moment than the people in the city. You know, it's easy for us to do that. It's easy for us to do that individually. It's also easy for us to do that corporately. So let me give you both. Individually, our stuff, our things, can become more important to us than the mission God has called us to. As followers of Christ, we're really to be about his business, and Jesus made that pretty simple for us. Now, it's complicated in how we flesh it all out, but he says it pretty simply. He says things like, I came to seek and save what was lost. He tells his followers on the Great Commission, I want you to go and tell everybody what I've been teaching and make disciples in all nations. It's pretty straightforward stuff. The implications of it are often challenging. But if that's what we're supposed to be doing, we know sort of the mission, but we can get really distracted with the stuff that gets in the way. We can get distracted in our life with things that come into our possession, whether it's a home or a toy that we have of some variety, or a schedule that we really like. That's still kind of a thing, or prosperity, or our lifestyle. Those things can become so important to us that the mission of God, the people that he's put in front of us to interact with, become secondary. Jonah was really, really happy about a plant and really, really unconcerned about the mission right in front of him that God had called him to. All these things are fine and good. In fact, it's even good that Jonah liked the plant, but his primary mission was to the people in Nineveh. Corporately, it can happen too. As a church, this can become something. We can do things instead of people. We can become more, things can become more important than people. We can become obsessed with buildings or gadgets or things we need to do the ministry rather than the actual people God has called us to be involved with. Now, we do need those things to do ministry. They just can't be the focus. Maybe you've noticed over the last year, say, we've done random things to the church to keep it up, right? To keep it up with the times and improve. I'm not really stuck on any of those things. I hope you're not either. For me, they are tools for our church to reach people. That's all I really care about. Now, I like that we have tools and we have the ability to do things because I think creativeness and a safe environment for people to come visit our church is important. But it's not the things that really matter. Doesn't matter to me what kind of chairs we have. It doesn't necessarily matter to me what order our service is in a ton. It matters to me that people that come find Jesus and connect with him, that the people that are in our path that God has placed there, we are connecting them to Christ. So things can become more important than people. And sometimes in church, things are just ritual or the way we've always done things. I'll tell you a story maybe you don't know, and I'm 95% sure it's true. So you know the name John Dillinger, I would imagine. There's a Dillinger gun. He's a like famous criminal. He was on the FBI's most wanted list back in the 30s. The story goes that when he was a boy, he was arrested for some kind of small crime, like petty theft or something, I don't even know what it was, but some small thing, and the officer put him on probation for a while. He's still in his teenage years, and so his mother or someone close to him sent him to church, and actually to Sunday school, which isn't all that odd. Back in that day, and you might know this too, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, Sunday school was a bigger deal than church. In fact, national average attendance at Sunday school was higher than it is on Sunday morning, like church service. So Sunday school was a big deal for a long time in America. And so he goes to Sunday school. Now when he goes to Sunday school, some people like certain things about their Sunday school, namely that nobody there was controversial or difficult to be around. And so when Dillinger showed up, this little boy who was on probation, some other parents said, I don't really want my children being around this boy. In fact, if he's going to stay, we are all going to leave. And so they sort of kicked John right out of Sunday school class. And he went off to go do what he did. Now, do you wonder, I wonder, what would have happened if that little meeting, wherever he was at, and I don't want to judge them, I'm just saying, what if that church really came around and surrounded him and cared about the person more than they cared about this little safe thing they had created? I don't know. Would he have ended up where he ended up? Maybe. But could they have affected potentially the rest of his life? Yeah. I think they probably could have. Churches, we can get more interested in things than we can in people, and we need to not be that way. And we individually can do the same thing. Jonah had kind of gotten into that moment that we just saw. The second thing that happened for Jonah is his feelings became more important than his faith. His feelings became more important than his faith. Jonah got his feelings hurt, and he was angry. And that was pretty much what dominated everything he said, if you saw the passage. Everything he said was, I'm angry, and I want to die. Emotion can be something that can blind us to the steps God wants us to take or the things we need to trust in him for. And I know it's something we know, cognitively, we all know it. And we all know that emotion's not bad. There's nothing wrong with feeling the emotion. But sometimes we can get so locked into it that we're blinded to the things that God has right in front of us, to the relationship we have with him, to trusting in him for the steps that are ahead. We have to somehow be able to feel the emotion and walk through it with God, which Jonah didn't really do. He just threw it right back at God and sat down on the hill and watched the city. So he valued feelings as more important than his faith at this moment in his life, and we can do that too, and it keeps us from having our heart connected with and on mission with God's. The third one for Jonah was he valued in this moment comfort more important than obedience. Comfort became more important than obedience. Jonah's personal comfort became more important to him than doing the things God had called him to do. He wanted to go sit out on the hill in the shade and watch the action instead of continuing to be involved in the city that God had called him to speak to. He spoke the word and he got out of town. He didn't stick around to continue all that God was doing. If you look through Scripture, I think it's pretty consistent that God regularly calls people out of areas of comfort. Today, when you watched the videos and saw the stories of, say, these missionaries, all of them probably would tell you there were moments in that process they had to step out of things that felt comfortable. Anytime you do just about anything God calls you to, it's regularly out of what is comfortable for you. And so choosing obedience over comfort keeps us closer to the heart and the mission of God. I'll be honest, for a moment, this is a very tough one in our culture. We really like comfort in almost everything, whether it's our food or our schedule or how fast we get our coffee drink or what temperature it is or how much stuff is in it or not in it. I was ordering a Starbucks drink, right? When you order, don't judge me. Seriously, I know you do it. So I'm ordering a Starbucks drink, and I'm thinking as I'm ordering it, because I like peppermint mochas, but I don't like all the sugar. So I'm like, give me like half the sugar. And I don't like really fatty milk, so give me like skim milk. And I don't really want whipped cream on it. So I'm like, this is what I want. And she repeats back to me this really long name of what I'm ordering, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is totally ridiculous. And we are at the point in our culture where that is like, it's about me. It's about my comfort level. It's about what I need and what I want. And it's about having a big enough house to feel comfortable. It's about not overcrowding my house. It's about having enough toys for me and for my kids. It's about, I mean, all these things are comfort things. And our culture values that significantly. And there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but we can value comfort so much that it keeps us from stepping out in obedience because we're scared of what we might lose or a comfort we might not have. What if I don't get my Starbucks drinks anymore? I mean, what if that happens? I don't have Starbucks very much. I just had one. I'm just letting you know. So comfort can become more important than obedience. I think in just maybe these three ways, and I'm not going to go on forever today because we had a lot of information from the missionaries, but I just wanted to give you maybe three things as you think people in front of you, mission that God has called you to, in your little, if you want to call it your little Nineveh, your little place that God has called you to be involved, if it's your work or your home or your neighborhood or with your friends. These are things that can kind of keep us from moving forward in it. Whether it's the fact that we have started to value some things more than the people that God's put in front of us, or whether we've started to let our feelings become more important than the trust in God for what's ahead, feelings over faith, or whether we've just become so comfortable that we're not stepping forward in obedience in those things. I think God values Nineveh. He says that at the end, doesn't he? He says that. Why are you so concerned over this plant when there are hundreds of thousands of people in this city, and that's who you should be concerned about? He says, God values the Ninevehs of our life, and he has put them in there, in your life, in those certain places and times, for you to be the Jonah, too. And if we adopt some of these chapter 4 qualities, we're probably not quite going to get there. So I want to encourage you just to think. I always think questions are good, so ask yourself some questions in each of these areas. Are there things, are there comforts that are keeping me? Are there feelings that are holding me back? Or can I just say, yeah, I actually am stepping out in obedience? Affirm yourself as well when you've done these things. That's it for this morning. It's short and quick, but it is challenging. As I prepared this week, I thought to myself, oh man, there's a couple of these I think I need to reconsider. I need to think about. I need to pray about. I need God to do some work in my heart on. And hopefully there probably is in you too. We all have a little, I think, Jonah in us somewhere, and we have to work through some of these things. So let's pray about it together, and then we'll be free to go. Father, thank you for this day and for a chance to just hear. I'm so encouraged. I'm so encouraged to hear what you're doing just in four places that your church is alive and well and doing awesome things for your kingdom. Thank you for that encouragement. Let us be a church that encourages others. because we are about your mission and about your purposes. Let us continue to be more about people than we are about things. Let us continue to be more about faith than we are just about emotion. Let us continue to be more about obedience than we are about comfort. God, we need, I think, help in all of these things. Let us see the Ninevehs that are close to us, and let us step forward to embrace and to further your kingdom and the mission you've called us to. Be with us this week in all that we do. May we go out as ambassadors for Christ and show people who it is that Jesus is and how much he loves and cares for them. We ask it all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.